people cussing each other, fighting over a big screen TV, and stuff like that. It's free here. It's the cheapest place in town right here. That's right. That's the best thing around here tonight. But I'm glad I'm here tonight. Glad you're here. I'm glad the Lord's here. And I want to say a couple things right quick, because I will be heading out very quick. We got a big visitation day tomorrow. We're having our special Sunday for our bus kids every year. We have a big Sunday for bus kids that come on our buses. And that'll be this Sunday. So we're going to visit. We got a lot of people going to visit all day tomorrow and try to fill up them buses and have a big day on Sunday. So I wish you'd pray for it. We got about $2,000 or $3,000 worth of gifts, and we got about 12 brand new bicycles that people have bought, and we're going to make some kids mighty happy. They're going to have a good Christmas. So some of them don't get much, if anything. And so I hope that you'll be praying for that. And then we got winter camp coming up. We have camp every summer, but we have winter camp the 28th, 29th, 30th. That's that week after Christmas there. There ain't much going on. And I ask you to pray for it. If anybody would like to come down, we'd love to have you. We're going to have preaching every night, Thursday and Friday morning. The church is going to provide food. And we just ask that you pray special prayer for that winter camp. And it will be online if you want to watch it. I don't know how to tell you. How do you do that? I guess you don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to put nothing on YouTube. I don't even know how I got on there. I've been on there 2 or 3 years and didn't even know it. A guy came up to me and they said, who's Hensley? And I was like, I don't know who Hensley is. And some guy had got saved over in Tennessee named Chet Hensley and started taking my messages and putting them on YouTube. And a lot of preachers say, well, ain't you scared of some of the stuff you say? Get out there in the world. I mean, you get you killed nowadays. And I said, well, it's too late now. Lord, it's done out there. They know where I'm at. I was preaching one time about this this cartoon called Wonder Chosen. It's some old kind of filthy, nasty cartoon. And they had one on there where God committed suicide. And they burned themselves, and it's just a big blasphemy. And I preached, but I screamed and hollered, and I called it everything in the world. And I should, because that's my father they're talking about. And that's my friend, Jesus Christ, my best friend. So somebody said, Brother Danny, you're on the Huffington Post. And I said, what's the Huffington Post? And it's some big thing from out in Hollywood where they're just a wicked news organization. I don't know if you ever heard of it. And they had put that on there and done an article on me and said, a pastor loses his mind over a cartoon. And I said, well, I count that as a compliment. Amen. Amen. Listen, if them people like you, you're a sick individual. Then I got a phone call from this woman up in Pennsylvania. A letter, and she wanted to call, and I called her, and she said, I just want to talk to you. She said, we have been watching your sermons all the time, and we just love them. And she said, I want to give you some money. So she sent us a check for the church for $500. And I called her, and I said, well, I really appreciate this. I said, how'd you find out about me? And she said, well, a friend of mine was telling me, she said, y'all see this preacher? They've got him on the Huffington Post. And I said, and that's how they got to see it. And I said, well, praise God for the Huffington Post. So the Lord used them devils to send us $500. Amen. Ain't that something? Amen. And so the Lord take care of it. You just do right and serve Him, and He'll take care of Him. We'll meet on the other side one of these days. Amen. We'll find out what God thinks about stuff like that. But I do appreciate this church and Brother Gary. And I know that the last few years, Dr. Phil Kidd's been coming here, and he's been a great help to y'all. And he's a personal friend of mine, and we love his preaching. And I can tell, I told Brother Gary, y'all's church is stepping up. It's growing. You're making improvements. And you may not see it. You're like a kid. Take a kid to family reunion. Everybody says, boy, he sure has grown. And you don't notice it. You know, because you're with him every day. That's the way this church is. I can tell. The Lord's raising y'all up, y'all. I can tell you're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere. You're not just stagnant in the water like a lot of churches. Bless God, keep something going on. I don't care if you have to come in here and paint the flowers orange one Sunday morning. Do anything, but stay the same. Forever and ever. Keep something moving. Keep something going. Keep something coming. Keep something moving. And God will bless this church. Now, tonight I announced that I was going to preach on the three biggest fools in West Virginia. And I know these people personally. And so my kin folks. I went and seen them yesterday over there. I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard of the Preeces over in Kermit, West Virginia. That's all my dad's side of the family. I got to see some of them yesterday and pray. You continue to pray for them. Lord, just bless them. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 12. Tonight, we'll start there quickly this evening. Proverbs chapter number 12. And look at verse number 15, please. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. I believe that verse said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Say something like that? But you read me the rest of it. What does the second part say? That's you. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Thank you. You can be seated. Now I want to preach tonight on these fools. God in the Bible calls certain people fools. As a matter of fact, over 50 times in the Bible, God said somebody is a fool. Don't worry about me going to hell. I ain't calling nobody a fool. I know these are people that God called fools. I'm just telling you what he said. Paul called the Corinthians fools in 1 Corinthians 15:36. And Jesus called the disciples fools in Luke 24 and said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart." So there's a different usage of that word. But the word fool means silly or a dupe or the victim of a trick. Somebody could trick you, you're a fool. We've all had that happen to us, right? And I want to show you the three biggest fools in the state of West Virginia. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 14. Psalm chapter 14. And I want to show you tonight the first biggest fool in the whole world. Look at Psalm 14 and verse number 1. You looking at it? Everybody get that verse there in your Bible. And the Bible said this. Everybody looking at it over there? Everybody looking over here? Don't look at your phones. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible there. Psalm 14, 1. And it said this. What does it say? "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That is the biggest fool in this state tonight is a person who says, "There ain't no God." And there's plenty of them, ain't that right? There's plenty of them over there at the University of West Virginia. There's plenty of them in Charleston. There's plenty of them in Beckley. And there's plenty of them in Bim. And Wharton. And Van. And wherever else, wherever we are. There's plenty of them in Boone County. Are we still in Boone County right here? There's plenty of them. And these are people who just look up and say, "I don't even believe there is a God. I don't believe there is. I don't believe there's no God." You know, now look, people, I'm not a genius, but I ain't stupid neither. And if I had every college professor in the state of West Virginia here tonight, and we had them all in here tonight, every PhD, every scientist, every paleontologist, geologist, and we had them all sitting in here tonight in one big room, I would put this forward to them. There are only four explanations for everything being here. Them rocks out there, mountains, air, water, space, the world, dirt, us, all that wood. There's only four explanations, and every scientist in the world believes one of these things. Number one, it came supernaturally out of nowhere by itself. They call that the Big Bang. There was nothing, and then there was everything. Bam! Just like that. Number two, it came supernaturally out of nowhere by a divine act of creation. That means somebody made it. Number three, it always has been here. And there are people that believe that. It's called the eternity of matter. Many of us went back there and it ain't never been here. And of course, that's ridiculous because the sun would have burned out a long time ago if it'd all been here. Everything's dying, everything's falling apart. And the fourth belief is it's not even really here. You just think it is. And that's the hippies. You got to smoke a little dope to believe that one. But there are people who believe that. There are, just like, man, it ain't real, man. Like we're just all hallucinating, man. Like, well, I tell you, but it's here. You're real. You're there. You can pinch yourself and find out you're here. You are here. It's here. So that fourth one ain't no good. That third one ain't no good because it couldn't have always been here. And the first one ain't no good because something can't come from nothing. Amen. All right, listen. That's not scientific. There was nothing. And then, listen, if there wasn't nothing, there wouldn't be nowhere to put everything when it got here. It just, bam, popped out of nowhere. Oh, can you imagine how dumb that is? That's why the Bible said they're a fool. You say, well, I know a fellow down to high school, and he teaches that, and he's educated. Well, he's an educated fool. That's the worst kind. The worst kind of people in the world, people educated and ain't got no sense. You ever met anybody like that? Some of the dumbest people I ever met in my life have went to college. That's right. I mean, you got to be pretty dumb, brother, to believe everything come out of nowhere. I mean, think about it. All us. Now look, you say, well, Brother Danny, you can't prove there's a God. I got a lot more proof there's a God than you got there ain't one. Amen. What if I went down here tonight and your car had ice on the windshield? Tomorrow morning, let's say we had a big frost, ice got all over your windshield. And I went down there in the morning and I saw a perfect handprint on that windshield. You know, you can put your hand on there and it'll dry. There it was right there. And I come up and I say, somebody has had their hand on that windshield. You say, well, you can't prove it. No, you can't. Did you see them? No, I didn't. You can't prove it. Well, I got circumstantial evidence. You know, if you're in a court of law, you got circumstantial evidence. You didn't see it happen. But because of that print there, I come to the conclusion somebody had their hand there. Every man over here saying, I don't believe it. Nobody, I just, the wind blowed and there's a little warm air coming down through there. And it just happened to form that hand. Now, who's the judge going to believe on that? Which side you going to agree with? I mean, that's just a tiny, small example. Look here, people. You see this right here? You see this pulpit made out of wood tonight? That is, when you see a square like that right there, that's order. Nobody in here would believe that Gary and all of them was just out there walking in the woods one day and trees fell over and made that right there by accident. That everything out there is random. You see a big pile of sticks, it don't turn into perfect squares. I mean, look, people, somebody made that. Anybody disagree with that? If you had every scientist in the world here tonight, every one of them would agree somebody made that. None of them would say, I believe that's just a product of chance and evolution, and that wood it just come together. It'd be like if you took an airplane and you took all the letters of the alphabet about the thousands, and you flew over this little town here, whatever this is, where a community, a wide place, the road, and you flew over this and you dropped all those letters out and landed the plane and come down here and it spelled out your name and address and give your social security number right out here by accident. And that ain't even scratching the surface of what you'd have to believe the whole world got here by itself. Look, you realize, I go run. I've run yesterday morning down here, and I run every day at home 5 days a week. And I'm running down my road. I live on the road, and I run down the road like this. And I'm running down this road like this, you know. I guess I can get in here, can I? And I run this way and that way. And I'm running down the road, and about halfway down my road, Brother Gary, I hear something come out, and it goes, and the neighbors down there got a little chihuahua about that big. And that thing, you might have one, but that's the most useless. I mean, why did God? I don't listen. God didn't even make them things. They couldn't survive. Listen, you know that? Every one of them was like a demon possessed. I get all the time. But anyway, that thing comes down, he thinks he's going to tear my leg off. And you know what? How do I know that's a chihuahua? I can hear it. So I'm running, I don't even see it. When I hear it, I go, ah! He's back there, he's back there, he's back there. I hear him. And sometimes I just go like that, go, pow, I got to take my foot. Here I get when I'm in a bad mood. But you know what? That's hearing. You think that happened by accident? You think you just happened to have two ears on your head? Well, it used to didn't be none. If evolution's true, there used to be a little amoeba. And then that amoeba stayed an amoeba for a few million years, then it mutated. That means it split. You know, you can't charge somebody $30,000 a year and say it split. So you make up words they can't understand. That's right. That's right. That's what's going on in college, brother. You get this dude up there with these glasses on, you know, and he's got a beard and looks real smart. And he goes, Pleozoic period, the Cretaceous period, Piltdown man, Heidelberger. And you think, oh my goodness, he's a genius. He's an idiot. And he believes that come from nowhere. Bible said he's a fool. I don't care. I don't care if he got enough degrees to pop a thermometer, brother. It didn't come from nowhere. Right. You think your ears just about happened? What did they do all them millions of years before people had ears? And then all of a sudden you start growing them. Like I said, once that I was an amoeba when I began to begin, then I was a tadpole with a tail tucked in, then I was a orangutan hanging from a tree, now I'm a doctor with a PhD. That's evolution in a nutshell. You know that little guy, they got a little monkey, a little bit bigger monkey, a little bit bigger monkey, a little bit bigger monkey. If they show you all that in high school, just snigger. Just laugh at them. You go ahead and put the answers they want to hear. And right down there at the bottom, the answers on this test are not necessarily the opinions of the student. That's right, brother. Go ahead and give it to them, but that's crazy. Don't you let them people brainwash you at school and tell you you got here, but your daddy wasn't no monkey. I mean, brother, some of my kin folks over in West Virginia, over yonder, they probably some of them swung by their neck, but ain't none of them swung by their tail. They didn't have one. That's right, brother. I'm telling you, those ears. Ain't it weird your ears right here? I mean, what if your ear was right here? You know, somebody's like, what'd you say? How come your nose is right over top of your mouth so you can smell food? Accident? Just so happened. Huh? I mean, really? Brother. What if your nose... Lord, I'd hate to think... I hope it ain't down here somewhere. Well, shut up right there. But God put your nose right there so you can smell food, you nut. I mean, that's why God gave us your brain, our eyes. What's my eyes? Light, focus, ceiling, focus, fan, focus, table, focus, Bible, focus, flower, focus. There ain't a camera in the world can do that. And that's actually, you say, no, Brother Danny, they made a camera. Now, that can, you said it, they made it. It didn't make itself. It didn't get here all by itself. Somebody had to make it. If somebody had to make that camera, you better believe somebody made my eyes and your eyes. Somebody bigger than me and you. There's a God, people. There is a God in heaven, and He's looking at you right now. He knows what you're thinking about me too, so you better watch it. He takes up for me sometimes. He does. Because I brag on him, he takes up for me. I'm telling you tonight, brother, their fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know what atheism is? Atheism or evolution is an unproved and unprovable guess. It's a temper tantrum thrown at God, and the only reason people... I'll tell you why people are atheists. The only other alternative believe there's a God, and they don't want there to be a God because they want to live like the devil and don't want to have to answer to God, so they convince themselves there ain't no God. But anybody can think can't be an atheist. There's no such thing as an honest, thinking atheist. If he's thinking, he ain't honest. And if he's honest... he ain't thinking. Because if you think long enough, you keep going back to where there wasn't nothing. And then there was everything. Amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now then take somebody like me And they say, oh, you uneducated hillbilly, you don't understand evolution. That's your problem. Well, really? I mean, really? I ain't read all the evolution. They'd ask me, they'd say, can you give us a lecture on uniformitarianism? And I'd say, no, I sure can. I know what that means. It means the present is determined by the past and things keep on going like they always have. The Bible said they'd say that in the last days about all things continue as it did from since the fathers fell asleep and so forth and so on. And say, can you give us a lesson, Mr. Castle, on the Jurassic period, on the Cretaceous period, on the Cambrian period? And I'd say, no, sir, I cannot. And I would look back at him and I'd say, listen to me, sir, can you write a doctrinal thesis on the difference between premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism as it relates to the thousand-year reign of Christ? Give them the old medicine. They throw that junk at us, throw it right back at them. He goes, no, he'd never heard of either one of them things I mentioned. Can you state the views on the prophetic passages in Daniel chapter 9 as it relates to Matthew 24, Revelation 13, and 2 Thessalonians 2, sir? He goes, what? See, your problem is you're not educated. Give it right back to them. You say, they say, well, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote science books too. You believe that junk? Don't criticize us believing the Bible. We got one that ain't changed in forever and never will change. They change ours about every 200 years or every 50 years. Now, they say the earth is 13 billion years old. And them stupid kids sit there and say, wow. Listen, people, they don't know that. They don't know that a bit more than a billy goat can quote Greek backwards. They have no idea in the world what they're talking about. They're out of their ever-loving mind, brother. I'm telling you something, brother. They have an isolated mentality. That means indicated by the forefinger making circular reasonings around the temple. That's what that means. And you know what that is? They listen, brother. They say, well, all the evil in the world proves there's no God. Because if there's a God, he'd fix this mess, wouldn't he? And our answer is, all the evil in the world proves there's a devil. And God is going to fix it. Don't rush him. You can't rush God, brother. He'll fix this mess in his own time. You better believe it, brother. And everything's going to be all right. And I'm telling you tonight, kids, don't you ever, if you ever start thinking, I wonder if there really is a God. You say, devil, get out of here. Because that's the devil telling you that. There is a God. You can count on it, brother. You can take that to the blessed bank. I'm telling you tonight, that's a fool who said there is no God. But then I'm going to say, secondly tonight, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 14. Now we looked at Psalm 14. Look at Proverbs 14 tonight. And let me show you what I call the second biggest fool in the world this evening. The second biggest fool in the world. Proverbs 14 and verse 9. And your Bible said there, fools, got it? Fools make a mock at sin. See that? There's your second biggest fool in the world. The second biggest fool in the world is the person who jokes about sinning. The person who laughs about us going to get drunk, yeah. Yeah, a fool don't talk like that. I'm telling you, brother, sin ain't nothing to joke about. Sin ain't nothing to fool with. I tell you, you young men right here, this young man right here, and this one right here, let him give his testimony, y'all. Let him brag on the Lord all he wants to. Let him get it out of your system, brother. I just tell him, listen, you two guys right here tonight, you are the exception. There's like 10,000 of them that never did make it out. They never did make it out. You ought to thank God every day of your life. You ought to thank God for everyone like this right here. There's 10,000 in the grave out there tonight that thought it was cool to get high and cool to get drunk and cool to party. And they found out that if you make a mock at sin, you're a fool tonight. This girl lived down below me years ago, and I live up on a hill. Gary's been in my, been in my house. And my driveway goes straight down like that, around the curve, and there's a trailer down below the house. I can't actually see it from my house, but it's close. Well, this girl, she was 19 years old, and one day, in the middle of the day, she called me and she said, Denny, I said, Debbie, what in the world's wrong? She said, can you come down here? Can you come down here, please? I said, what's wrong? She said, just come down here. I said, what is wrong with you? She said, there's a mouse. There's a mouse in here. There's a mouse. I said, it ain't going to hurt you. She said, well, you come down here again. I said, all right, I'll be down there in a minute. I got my shoes on, walked down the driveway, walked all the way down there, down this way, went down there about a couple thousand feet. And I went in there, and this girl, 19, was up on the couch like this. I said, "Where's it at?" She said, I don't know. I think I'm under there. So I got the broom, and I was sticking it under the couch, you know, and got up in there and running under the bed, you know, and everything in the closet and everything. About that time, that thing run across the floor. She went, "Ah!" Like that, and I started hitting him like that right there, and I was going, "Bam! Bam! I got him!" And I hit him. It didn't kill him, though, because he's laying in the floor and his leg going, And so I opened the front door and just swept him out in the yard. I said, "Now, you all right?" I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." I said, "I'll see you later." And I walked up the driveway. When I was walking back up the driveway, Brother Gary, I thought thereon, and whereby and wherewithal, and received instruction under the sun, like Solomon did. And I thought, you know what? That girl crazy. Because I'd seen a big old Camaro pull up in that yard with something in it. I don't know what it was. It looked like that thing right there. 6494, the throw and everything. And he's sitting like that there, and he come out. I've seen that car come out there and go, beep, blow the horn. And I saw her of her own free will go out there and get in the car with that thing. You know what she is? She is a nut. That girl would scream at a mouse and climb in a car with a wolf. That's a fool. That's a fool. They're afraid of what they shouldn't be afraid of. Let me tell you something, people. The devil don't play fair. All you young people here tonight, all you, thank God you're in church on Friday night. You did the right thing by coming here tonight. There is nothing. Listen, if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, you'd be right here in the house of God tonight. And he might. And it's on your record. You went to church on December, whatever this is, 16th, 2022. And it's on your record. Thank God for it. But you hear me tonight and you hear me well. You're going to be out there when you get in high school, and you're going to be out in junior high and high school. And so you girls are going to say, "Hey, we're going to have a party. We want you to come." Or the boys are going to say, "Hey," or this real good looking guy, he's going to start liking you. Or this real pretty girl, she's going to start flirting with you. And the next thing you know, you're going to have to make a decision. I'm telling you tonight, you better make up your mind. Fools make a mock at sin. It ain't funny. Ask some of these older people, brother. Ask some of these that escaped and made it through. You don't want to go down that road. You don't want to go down that road of dope and liquor and partying and shacking up and fornication. You don't want to go down that road. Fools make a mock at sin. Listen, your state of West Virginia, your state right here, it's heartbreaking because I got a lot of family here when I see what the devil's doing to the people of West Virginia. Amen. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to give you some statistics I got just the other day. Not long ago, just below the border in California, in Mexico, the DEA busted a lab, a drug lab. So right across the border from California, they said that one lab was producing 70 million pills a month.
Wow.
That's just one. That's just one lab. 70, that's one lab. There's probably hundreds of them. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The DEA said 40% of those pills, that's over 25 million, had a lethal dose of fentanyl on those pills. Enough to kill a person. 25 million of them coming to this country. So when you're at the party and the boy you like, or the girl you like, so this will make you feel good. You get high, you like this. And you think, man, that sounds... See, you start thinking, I know better than God. I know what's good for me. I'll try this. I can stop anytime I want to. Tell you what you're doing. You're sticking your head in a snake's mouth, buddy.
Right.
You see, I ain't mad at nobody. I don't judge nobody. Me and my wife are helping several folks who's struggling with drugs right now. He's on Suboxone. I know a girl that's on meth. I know girls that's on cocaine and heroin and everything. We try to help them. I've had them live in my home. We tried our best. We take them to rehab. I took a pastor's son to rehab not too long ago to try to help him. And that boy grew up in church. That boy grew up singing in church, was called to preach, and he just took one, hurt his shoulder, something like that, took one pill. Next thing you know, it was Percocets, and the next thing you know, it was other things. And now tonight, he lost everything he had, lost his wife, lost his baby, he lost his health, he lost his teeth, he can't hardly do nothing because he just thought you could play around with sin a little bit, and you can't play around with it. Can't play around with it. My son-in-law, Todd, his brother, Jonathan, overdosed just a few months ago. And I mean, there's probably people back home watching this, and I don't want to get too plain, but it's a sad situation. A sad situation. They said that man took, he said, you could take some of that Splenda, that fake sugar, you know, and open it and put it in your hand. And he said, that much fentanyl killed 500 people. And they don't know what they're doing. They're out there mixing up, putting up. All it takes, are you listening to me? All it takes is one little bit too much. And you don't wake up. A college student not long ago, girl didn't drink, didn't party, nothing. But she was really needing a good night's rest and wanting something to relax her. And she got one. She ordered one pill. One pill. And she cut it in half. And she took that half and cut it in half. So she took 1/4 of that one pill and never woke up the next morning. One time. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said fools make a mark at sin.
Amen.
It ain't nothing to joke around with. Fentanyl is made and sent here from China to the drug cartel in Mexico. That's why our ignorant government and wicked government is letting the borders stay open so all of that can come in here. And they, listen, people. China wants every American messed up or drunk or on drugs or dead so they can be the number one superpower. Listen, y'all. Listen to me. China. You know that the fentanyl comes from China. You know where the coronavirus come from? China. You'll never get me to convince that was all some big accident. They over here to kill all the older people off. They send the fentanyl over here to kill all the 18 to 40 year off. Kill all of them. And they send TikTok over here to get the kids getting them a little dirtier mind. So they'll watch pornography the first chance they get. All that comes straight from China. And LeBron James, that outfit, supporting that crowd, brother. I mean, I like basketball, but I wouldn't pay a dime to hear somebody who celebrates China and does business with China and hates America. And that boy named Brittany they brought home the other day. While I'm at it, I might as well just make all of you mad. That big boy, you know, he said they had in jail. I never heard of a boy named Brittany. He's out 6'8". Adam's apple. Who are you trying to kid, man? I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Listen, y'all. Put that thing over here, whatever it is. And brother, we think, oh, how wonderful. And leave one of our Marines who fought for our country over there in jail. Listen, this country is rotten to the blessed core. The government ain't on our side. The Democrats ain't on our side. And half the Republicans ain't. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we are living in a time when the devil is taking people to hell by the millions. And I'm here to tell you the fool makes a joke about sin. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, they make pills that look exactly like sweet tarts or Skittles. And the kids, so the kids will like it. They had them at Halloween. so the kids wouldn't know what it was. Ain't nothing to fool with. You're playing with fire, so I'm going to end your life. If you're here tonight and you got a drug problem, you know what I'd do if I was you? And I hope I would do this if it was me. I would get this preacher and I'd get that lady right there and I'd say, y'all take me in this office and I want everybody to get around me and pray. And by the grace of God Almighty, I'm going to leave this stuff behind. Like he said, get off that stuff and leave it and get clean and stay clean. Because listen, the devil will get you right back out there where you was doing right back. He'll send some old friend around. He'll send some old buddy around. Somebody to come home from college. One of your old boyfriends, one of your old girlfriends to come back from somewhere. And the devil, you know what it is? All of it's Satan trying to kill you and ruin your life. One more and I'll be through tonight. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12. And I'll show you the third biggest fool in town tonight in the state of West Virginia. Luke chapter 12. This story starts out about a man who has a lot of stuff. And he's a rich man. And he's prospered and done well. And he tries to tear down his barns and build greater barns. He's got more money he knows what to do with. So he decided, I'll just sit back and eat, drink, and be merry and live it up. Yep. Look what God said in verse 20. Luke 12:20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be whom thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know who the third biggest fool is tonight? It's the person who works all their life, makes a good living, retires from the railroad or coal mine, got a lot of money in the bank, got your kids or grandkids. Man, I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. I don't need God. I'm going to live life now and enjoy. Just like that. Heart attack. And you don't have to be old. You've heard me tell that story of a preacher who went down visiting one day. And that preacher was visiting. He went down the street knocking on doors. Knocked on this door. Nobody didn't come. And he started to leave and he heard somebody say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And he looked and there's a car out there in the front yard jacked up like that. And he saw a pair of tennis shoes and blue jeans sticking out. And a boy crawled out from under that and said, can I help you? He's underneath there working on that car. The preacher said, I'm so-and-so. I'm a preacher from a church down the street here. Young man, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And I'd like to invite you to church. And that boy right took a rag and wiped his face off like that. And he said, listen, I'm 17 years old. He said, I don't need God. He said, you can go on down the street with that stuff. I'm going to fix this car. I'm going to party tonight. You can just leave me alone, preacher. Take your God and your Bible and go on with it. And he did. Preacher went on knocking on doors down that street that day. Talked to people. People went all the way down to the end of the block. About 30 minutes later, they heard a siren. That preacher did. And the siren and an ambulance come to down that corner and turned up that road that he'd just come down. Well, obviously, everybody went out in the street and people was coming out looking to see where it was going. And it went right up there and turned in that driveway. And they all was running and running to see what happened. And there's a crowd around there. And the EMS workers was working around there. And that jack had just like that. And that car fell on that boy. And he never even knew what hit him. Gone. 30 minutes after, he told the preacher, go on. Take your God, your Bible. I'm 17 years old. I got my whole life ahead of me. Listen, people. You don't know when you're going to leave this world.
Amen.
You're a fool tonight to walk out of here and say, well, I guess that's pretty good. I guess he's telling me. And still not right with God.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Years ago, there was a famous actor and movie star in this country named Jane Mansfield.
Come on, man.
And Jane Mansfield, after Marilyn Monroe died back in the 60s, she was like the sex goddess of the country, because Marilyn Monroe had been up in the early 60s, and Jane Mansfield tried to be like her, and she just as wicked as the devil. Jane Mansfield had a friend of hers who used to try to get her to go to church. And she's on top of the world, man, making millions of dollars, starring in movies, had anything she wanted. And she just laughed it off, made a joke out of it. And one day her friend got a letter in the mail and said, "Dear so-and-so, I know you always try to get me to go to church. Well, I want you to know that I'm going to church now. I've joined the church of Satan. And I've given my mind, my body, and my soul to the devil." Jane Mansfield. Sure enough, she got hooked up with old Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan out there in San Francisco. He's done that in an abandoned hotel, you know. Hotel California, that's where they come from. That's on California Street in San Francisco. That's where the Church of Satan started. You know that song says, "You can come here, but you can't never, never leave. You can check in." You know? Yeah. There's more to that than people, just a pretty old song. Right. And buddy, they got Jane Mansfield and her, Sammy Davis Jr., done the same thing. Him and Dean Martin and all them, and influenced that whole crowd to serve Satan. Not long after that, she was coming out of somewhere down there around New Orleans that night. I'm sure you've heard that story. Her, another guy, her driver, and it's flying out there in an old foggy night. And her truck almost stalled in front of them. They couldn't see it for the fog. And they slammed into the back of that tractor and trailer, the back of that trailer. And they said that car was doing about 80 miles an hour and went up under that thing and literally cut the top of her head off. Literally, they couldn't even show it. You've heard the story about her being decapitated. They try to say it didn't happen, but it is a fact. It took the top of her head completely off. She never even knew what hit her. The devil come after her. He come after her. She'd been in hell now since 1967. That's 30, 52, 55 years she'd been screaming in hell. Somebody said they checked with Anton LaVey back in San Francisco. And that night he was taking the scissors and cutting articles out of the paper. And he cut an article out of the paper. And they turned it over and there was a picture of Jane Mansfield on the other side. And those scissors just went right across her neck right there. Oh, man. That night. You know what that was? Yeah. The devil said, "You don't, come on. Come on, I'll tell you. You make all these men lust, make everybody commit adultery. All right, okay, I'm through with you. Bam." Just like he did Jimi Hendrix. Just like he did John Lennon. Just like he did Elvis. Just like he did Amy Winehouse. Just like he did John Bonham, AC/DC, Bon Scott.
Come on.
Same way, people. Amen. The devil says, pow. And if them people had, if they could get out of hell tonight and come in here and sit, they would knock you out of the way trying to get up here to this altar. Amen. Saying, "God, have mercy on me. I don't want to go to hell." That's why the Bible said, fools make a mock at sin. Don't be a fool tonight. I challenge everybody, look, y'all, I'm leaving, I'm driving 5 hours going home tonight. This may be the last service I'm ever in. We don't know that. Good night, there's 10,000 tractor and trailers I'll pass on the way home tonight. Come that close to death every time you pass one. You don't know either. Heart attack, stroke, blood vessel bust, like that. Why do you have to be so negative? Because I'm trying to tell you the truth that'll help you.
Amen.
Well, you let the Lord help you tonight.
Amen.
Don't be a fool. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Everybody standing, everybody bow your head, please.